27, 2020. If everyone will please stand for our prayer and pledge, led by Mr. Morris and Mr. Petty.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. We come out and take care of school business. We pray, God, for wisdom and discernment from on high. Pray, God, that you'd bless all the teachers and staff, Father, as they get ready for next Monday, Father. I pray that, Lord, everything would be done. I pray all the work would get finished over at the new high school, Father. We're so blessed to have that, and we thank you, God, for all the excitement there. So, Lord, we pray, God, for your hand of protection from this virus. Father, we need your help in that. So, God, we ask you to do that. Pray that you protect all of our staff, all of our children as they return to school next Monday, Father. Be with those that are already been affected, Father, those in our, within our own district staff that's dealing with that right now. We pray for healing in their lives as well, Father. Be with our community, those who have suffered with it, God. We pray for comfort and strength there, God. And, Lord, we need your help. So, God, we ask for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to go ahead and get started. We didn't have any recognitions or presentations, but we do have a couple of public comments. We'll start this morning with our representative with Integrity via teleconference.
Let me, if I can, Madam Chairman. I was just on the phone with her earlier, kind of going over the main things we wanted to hit with Integrity. I'd asked her questions such as, what is the guaranteed amount that we know right now that we expect to get from FEMA? And she will respond to that. As far as timelines, you know, there is never for sure with FEMA. But I think for this board, you'll need to know what is, I guess the word might be guaranteed. We know we're going to get. So she will share that with us. Yes, ma'am. Can you hear us on the line?
Yes, good morning.
You go right ahead.
Okay, so right now, I know that the main discussion has been the $1.2 million. And I explained earlier that portion is part of the Category A and Category B, which is debris removal and emergency protective measures projects. With that said, right now, FEMA is deeming that contract non-compliant, and we are working extremely hard to try and get that sorted out. So I told Mr. Summers I wouldn't expect that at any point right now, just because it is deemed ineligible. But I do have the total 2% deductible that you guys are responsible for from that insurance doesn't cover. And that total right now is $993,124. Now, because we do know that you were responsible for that, that is a pretty solid number. And then any additional costs or expenses that you may have spent repairing any of the buildings, we will claim those at closeout. So that that will be whenever all the projects are done, complete, there are no more repairs, no more expenses due to Hurricane Michael, and we can accept that additional expenses on top of what you, the 2% deductible.
Okay, if you would share with the board a little bit about the, we mentioned the contract was deemed inappropriate or unacceptable. Give us a little history on that. What happened?
So right now they are saying that the contract with Belfour, the way it was procured, there are no federal regulations and there's no ceiling price. So they're seeing it as a time and materials contract, which FEMA doesn't really like to begin with. So we are working with Pace to try and get a formal letter explaining that they were, a pre-approved vendor through insurance, because insurance is covering, the majority of those expenses, and hopefully we can get them to see it that way. We're sending out a letter to all, this is gonna affect all the school boards, so we're sending a letter to all the school boards for them to sign, and then we're going to send it to Pace and see if we can work with them to get it written formally for FEMA. But as of right now, that's going to happen this week and next week, and hopefully the turnaround time on FEMA's end will be faster than normal. So hopefully within the month, we'll have answers on that contract. But again, that $1.2 million, you're only responsible for the 2% that insurance doesn't cover. So we won't see that $1.2 million in full because insurance is covering their portion, and then we're only going to be asking for the 2% deductible from that.
I got one question I'm sure our board members want to kick in. As far as other districts, are they already receiving any FEMA dollars that you're aware of, any of the districts that you were working with? Any FEMA dollars already flowing to the districts?
I believe there are some that have received money, but not for the Category A and B work. All of those contracts, because of the Belfort contract, all of that work is along the school work on. FEMA's finding it ineligible.
Hi, this is Sheila. May again, could you explain to the board?
Sheila, just a second. Sheila, hold on just a second.
And right now, we've requested reimbursement for the expenses up to the obligated amount, which I believe was $189,000, roughly. And right now, it's under state review. Once they approve it, we'll be able to receive that funding for the $189,000. And then on top of that, we have expenses that add up to about $400,000. So once Bristol and Toller, all the building repairs are completely finished, we'll request a closeout where we'll be able to receive that extra, the additional expenses after the $189,000.
Okay. Megan, Ms. Sheila's got a question for you. Go ahead, Sheila.
Megan, could you explain to the board that what they can and cannot spend on certain categories? I mean, just to explain where they, it depends on how it's filed.
Okay, so right now I'm going to leave the Cat A and Cat B categories out of our conversation line. Discuss this, but so we have 5 Category E projects, which are your buildings. The first one is Liberty School High and Testing Center. Then we have the District Admin Building. Then we have Contents. Then we have the Bristol Pre-K Building and Building Components, and then Liberty School Athletic Field, which includes all the athletic fields. Right now, we've discussed to 428 two of our projects, and what that means is FEMA will write the scope of work based on the damages we're claiming and give us a cost estimate. And we, if we agree upon what they cost it, it's a fixed cost, so we'll sign off on that project, and you'll be able to receive that funding. You'll be able to receive 50% in advance, and then as you make your repairs and your expenses, we can request the additional 50% of that. There are pros and cons with the 428 program, because once we sign that project, that's the cost that they're going to give us. We can't ask for any more or any less. Well, we can ask for less, but that would be silly. But we are able to spend that money on hurricane damages that aren't related to. So the district admin building is one of the 428 projects. If FEMA were to send us their costs and we agreed on it and we signed it, we wouldn't be spending that money on rebuilding the district admin building. We could spend that money on, for example, I think that Sheila mentioned you're building a new concession stand. So we would be able to spend that money on that concession stand. So as long as the original concession stand was damaged by Michael. So as long as the expenses relate back to Michael damages, they don't have to be the same footprint or in the same location. For standard projects, which are 3 of our projects right now, we're able to change those 3 if we would like to use a 428 program. But right now they're in the standard lane, which means FEMA will write their scope of work, give us their cost estimate. We don't sign off on that cost estimate. That's just what they'll obligate the project for. And then we'll be able to claim any additional expenses that we may have spent in rebuilding, even if it's over the obligated amount. So 428, you can spend the funding where you want. as long as it relates back to Michael. And then the standard project lanes, it's not a fixed amount, but you have to spend that money in repairing those damages that are a part of the scope of work.
So no new construction, but repair of damaged existing facilities?
I'm sorry, what was that?
So what you were referring to is that you couldn't use that pot of money for new construction. It would have to be strictly for Michael damaged, hurricane damaged existing buildings.
Correct.
So, okay, well, I was confused on that. So if we had something that was damaged and it needed to be rebuilt.
They'll cover that.
Okay, so even though that would be new construction, you mean, you're talking about
construction.
You can only spend the money on stuff that was damaged from Michael.
I understand. And for example, she gave a concession stand, for example.
Right. Yes, so with the 428, you can go outside of that scope of work. So for example, I know that we weren't, with the district admin building isn't being rebuilt the same footprint in the same location. So that's why we know that one's going to be a 428, because we aren't going to follow that scope of work. We're going to rebuild it somewhere else. With the standard, you have to follow that scope of work. So, for example, the Liberty High School and Testing Center, as far as I know, the repairs and rebuilding, it's remaining in the same footprint, same location. So we have that as a standard project. So if there were additional funds that you have, or expenses that, you know, happened throughout the repair process, we're able to claim those. Whereas the 428, we agree on the fixed cost and that's it.
Let me ask this question.
Okay.
If we move, our admin building was damaged, we're not going to rebuild it. We move it to another building. We're not going to spend money building a new building. The money that we receive from that, I'm assuming we can enhance the building we move the admin building into, but if we have leftover dollars,
and we
want to spend it somewhere else.
Correct.
Can we do that?
Yes. With the district admin building specifically, yes, because that we are going to do a 428 with that one. So you'd be able to spend, you know, let's say right now they have it cost, the district admin building cost that roughly $24,000 after insurance and everything. And we take $10,000 of that money to add the district admin building into the new building, you have $14,000 left over to spend on other hurricane damage repairs, wherever you would like.
But not new construction?
You could, if it was, so the new construction as in like the building was damaged or demolished by Michael and you're having to rebuild it, yes, you can use that.
That was my question. That was, okay.
We're talking, let's say we wanted to build a whole new concession stand, blank, or whatever else. Those dollars, can we use them for that?
Yes. The $428 are more flexible.
Good
than
deal.
The standard. Right,
that's what we're trying to get.
That was my question.
Megan, this kid.
Yes.
But that building was not messed up by Hurricane Michael. So I thought you said you couldn't spend it unless it was related.
Oh, so we didn't lose. As far as I know, the concession stands were all damaged by Michael, right?
No, there was never one.
So yes,
no,
if it's just a brand new facility that you've never existed before, no,
yes.
it can't be spent that way.
Okay.
All the funding, no matter which standard or 428, it has to be related to Michael damages. It's just the 428 money you can spend on, you know, multiple projects or. If it was a concession stand that was damaged by Michael, you could rebuild it with a new footprint in a different location.
In a different location.
If it wasn't on our property,
in a different location.
Our inventory property, then we don't, it's new.
So what concession stand was damaged?
The football field concession stand, the old one.
Okay. So she just said if it was damaged, you can use the money even if it's in a different location.
Yeah, I understand that, yes. But you can't build something new that was not related to Hurricane Michael. And we can do stuff up here. You can do anything because the footprint has changed. If it's not Hurricane Michael related, you cannot spend the money on it.
If we had some damage to the football concession stand, we can't take that money that we get and go across the way and build a new girls softball.
It's a concession stand. If we're not going to use it, why not use that money in the girls concession stand that's going to be relocated?
It's all these federal.
I mean, that's...
Megan?
So if you're saying the football field was damaged and as long as we included the concession stand on our damages, then yes, you can rebuild that concession stand with a new footprint in a new location with the FEMA money.
No, ma'am, I'm not saying that. I'm saying go to a different site and build a different concession stand.
We can't do that.
And how much of that money is earmarked that we could not do that with? How much of that FEMA claim is earmarked?
Well, right now we only have one project that has been obligated, so all of the other dollar amounts I can't say yes or no for sure. They're still being reviewed through FEMA, and they're subject to change, but the one that we do have obligated, which is not a 428 project, unfortunately, I guess, is the $189,001 for Bristol and Toller. And the rest are still in FEMA's review. I can give you a list of what they have it costed at right now, but like I said, that can change.
Right.
Ms. Megan, quick question. If was Belfar the primary contractor or vendor for most of our PAC districts for cleanup?
Yes, I believe all the school boards that we're working with, they use Belfor, yes.
So everybody's in jeopardy with having an issue with it not being a good contract?
Yes.
How do we recover that if at the end of the day it's deemed an invalid contract? Do we eat that, or does PAC, who eats that?
You might have to talk to PACE, but as far as I know, you guys would be stuck with that loss. And like I said, it's only going to be the 2% of the 1.2 because insurance did cover the rest.
So insurance covered the 948, or what was the number you gave us that we're sure of?
So the number I gave you was the 2%. It was your 2% deductible of all of your projects combined. So we know you are responsible for that 2%, and that was that
$993,000.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot. We were banking on that considerably. Getting that back, being able to be reimbursed for that.
Right, and we're going to do all we can to get this through. It's definitely putting all of the school boards in jeopardy, and I know some of their Belfor work was even over this $1.2 million that you guys had, so I know it's going to hurt a lot of the school boards if we don't get this sorted out. But I have a feeling that if we're able to work with PACE to get them to formally write it and have it in writing that they're a pre-approved vendor for the insurance, because on the Belfor contract I found that the insurance company has to approve of the vendor that you use, so we're hoping to get that out the next week or two.
Where is Pat McDaniel in that process?
Where
is Pat McDaniel in that process? Are they actively trying to make sure to get that done?
I believe right now we're sending out the letters to the school districts to sign and approve and kind of explain where we stand and what we're going to do, and then we're going to send all of those to PACE and, you know, pretty much tell them they have to help us get this sorted out.
Do we have anybody else? Any questions? Okay, I don't think we have anybody else that has any other questions. Thank you for presenting for us today.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry I couldn't be there.
We understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan.
All right,
okay, I'm okay to hang up then?
Yes, ma'am. I think so.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, well, let me know if you have any other questions after the meeting. Just give me a call or send me an email.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
We called her out in the middle of her vacation. I know she's left the country somewhere.
Jennifer, we have Miss Jennifer Sewell that's going to come up and present something to us.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thank y'all for giving me the opportunity to speak to the board. I want to give you an update on the ball field. I've gone out there and met with Coach Jordan. Andy Bailey's been out there. Mr. James Flowers. We met, you know, trying to get ideas of where to go, things that need to be fixed to get the field playing ready. Culpepper and Robertson Robert has been busy getting the field ready for play, and they brought sand out there for us to get spread out in the outfield. They brought some more clay. Yesterday they rolled the edge of the infield, trying to get that down, and added some clay and packed the infield. We're currently, we're dealing with the backstop issues, and a couple of us, we talked about it the other day, we were out there doing different things. Mr. Greg Jordan asked me to get a quote from DMV for what a 2-foot pad would be. That's the quotes I gave y'all. They gave me two quotes, and on the bottom of the second quote, I wrote what a third quote would be on the first quote. It has the backstop pad with the Z mounting brackets and the installation where they come and install it with all the screws. And that one, it has there for $3,595.80. And on the second quote is just for the backstop pad and the top mounting Z brackets and the shipping. The first one also has shipping. And we find somebody here to install it. And that one's $2,965.80. And on the bottom of that second quote, I wrote what it would be just for the backstop pad and shipping and us, you know, finding somebody to install it and getting the stuff to hang it up with. And that was $2,550. And I'm just asking if there's any way that the board could possibly help for this for the field. You know, I appreciate anything that they could do to help. We're just trying to, you know, figure out a way to fix that backstop wall, make it a little bit safer and everything. So if anything that y'all can do to help, I appreciate it. And if y'all have any questions for me.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Does all girl ball fields have this pad?
Majority of them, okay. I think almost all of them do with the, that has the block wall right there. I know y'all went to Alpha the other day. Did they have one?
Well, they didn't have a pad up there.
They didn't have a pad.
So I
know, like,
I just hadn't really noticed it.
It helps because, I mean, I don't know, you know, softball's a little bit closer than the baseball, you know, from home plate to the backstop. If a ball hits it, and it hits it, I mean, it's going to shoot right back. It kind of helps with that, and also helps if a catcher's running back there trying to make a catch. I, you know, years ago we had a kid that collided a little bit with the wall, and there wasn't a backstop pad. She was out a little bit for concussion.
Did they take that down in the off season and keep it from rotting, dry rotting?
We used to have a little small old one that just did the right behind home plate. We left it up, so I don't know about taking it down. I know we all think leaves up year round.
So is it there to withhold like weather? Is it like a permanent thing?
No, then all the ball fields they usually leave them up.
They leave them.
It's supposed to be for the weather and stuff like that. It has a thing with the vinyl they use has certain coating and stuff to help with the sun and things like that. I mean, probably after years and years. Yeah.
I mean, you might when off season you might could cover it with a tarp
or
something.
Take it down.
How difficult it would be to take it down.
Maybe what the, you know, thing is what most people do or how long it lasts. Things like that.
And this pad, I know we talked wall heights out there. Will this pad fit the wall height that we got out there now?
It'll stay the height that the wall is. You know, we talked the other day about, you know, if we raised it, how it would affect the view for the fans.
Right.
And we just figured, you know, this would probably be the easiest, you know, solution of that. And Culpepper's supposed to tighten the backstop net.
Yeah, we cleaned that up, but I think they got a clean issue.
And every year probably has to be tightened.
Yeah, it will. Or I thought about this, going back there and putting a piece of chain link down at the bottom part.
Mr. James, is your mic on? If y'all could please speak into your mic, it will help.
I thought about chain link up there. I'm just ideas now. I ain't saying that's what needs to be done or has to be done. But yeah, the net does, we're going to have to figure some way to tighten it every year. Because that was up there, you stretch it that far off right now.
And every year they'll have to
tighten it.
Out of these quotes, Jennifer, do we have somebody that can? Do we need somebody to be installing it? I mean, how do you feel, or what do you know about the installation versus, you know, because you got three different quotes, and basically the difference is somebody installing it, somebody not.
Does a lot of installation for their pads. They have a guy that comes in there and then does the installation on the pads. They've done it for FAMU at Florida State. They go out and they have a certain guy that specializes in
it. But do we have somebody?
I'm not sure of that. Okay. I mean,
I'm not
sure. I was just.
Yeah. We got probably people that can figure it out. But.
You know, like I said, for anything y'all can do to help with that, we'd appreciate that. I know y'all have tough times, you know, listening for that conversation, you know, and y'all have a lot of decisions about other things. And I want to thank the credit union for all y'all done for us, for softball and volleyball down here. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you.
Thank y'all for letting me speak.
Okay. Moving on down. Mr. Summers, do you have a superintendent's report for us this morning?
Well, nothing in particular. We are, of course, making final preparations for Monday. It's going to be a big day, a glorious day, we predict. We'll be moving into the new high school. But especially at all of our schools. We've done our homework, we've done the best we can. We all understand that we are in changing times. This past week, there were several CDC changes, recommendations. We're trying to adopt them into our plan as much as we can and keeping up. But every district, of course, is struggling. But we're gonna do the very best we can to keep our kids, our staffs, our community safe within our schools. We've also had phone conversations with our health department, trying to make sure that we're lockstep together. I understand that they have just hired a health nurse down at Tola. We were all kind of sweating that, but we have one in place. I can't even tell you who the lady's name is. But we will have someone down that way. Still trying to work with PanCare. It's a struggle with them because they are, I guess, they're spread thin all over the counties, but we are we're going to be either in person or a phone conversation with them before the week is out as far as a nurse being hired at Tola with them. We have a new SRO down at Tola. Chad, will you tell us who we got coming down that way to be our new SRO?
So William
Buckhoff
is going to be down at Tola. Actually
Sydney's son-in-law. So
he's
gonna
do well for us this year.
Get a chance,
shake his hand, and
we appreciate him. We appreciate Speed having the opportunity to go down there and work with his kids. He decided back over there.
Yes.
Our conversation with him. Let's see. That's all I can think of right off the top of my head. I can address anything else the board's got for me.
Okay.
You get to the question.
Thank you, Mr. David. We didn't have any additions or corrections to the agenda, so we'll move on down to approving a motion to approve agenda for the August 27th, 2020 meeting. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Hayes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Morris. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 7A, motion to approve the August 20th, 2020 special board meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Petty. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Flowers. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Consent items. Item 8A, motion to approve hiring Jessica Creamer as a 1-to-1 paraprofessional at W.R. Toller School effective August 27, 2020, which is today. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Morris. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 8B, motion to approve the request for proposal per board recommendation for financial institutional banking short-term loan. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Morris. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Petty. Any discussion?
Jackson may need to do, Jackson, if you would, kind of give us some background.
I prepared it from an RFP from another few districts that used. You'll notice there's a lot of blanks on there for y'all to put on as far as dates, when we're going to roll this out, when it's going to be final, the weighting of the scoring categories and things like that. I felt like the board needed to make those decisions. So some of the blanks are just contact information, like a school board website where they can inquire if the bidders have questions and things like that. But so it's a rough draft, but it is, once you fill in those blanks, it'll meet the criteria for the RFP if y'all want to go forward with that.
Give us a little bit of background, if you would, Jackson, before we go further. Not directly on the RFP, but I think it would serve the board. What, as far as conversations you've had, and I know you've called a bunch of people, because we're none of us are in the habit of entering into an RFP to borrow money. What were you told by the, I guess it would be the experts that you talked to, as far as?
So yeah, this is apparently a very rare thing. Most of the school finance officers, certainly in the panhandle that I spoke with, had never done anything like this before. So it was kind of some uncharted territory. But a couple of statutes, for those of y'all that are interested in looking at them, 1011.12, that's in the education code, and it lays out basically the four bases that boards can take on debt, that school boards can take on debt, and how that debt can be taken on. Bonds is one of them, but I gathered from last week's meeting, last Friday, that the board was more interested in getting funds quickly to accomplish some of the projects on this list, like yesterday, I think was the phrase that was used. So to do that, bonds would not be the way to go about that, because they would have to be, need to be approved at an election, and than a bond. Anyway, it would be more time consuming. We'd probably be into the spring before we could have that done. So not having to go in front of the voters, our options are essentially to look to pulling money from what we get from the racetrack paramutual money. My understanding from the finance department is that that money is allocated for ongoing expenses. So if we pulled and used that money to pay for things on this list, there we would immediately run into issues with basic things like payroll and maintenance and stuff like that. So I don't know that that's something that y'all would want to do. Obviously, it's y'all's decision ultimately. So then that we're looking at getting funding under 1011.14. That is that short-term debt. And it has specifically enumerated purposes that you can spend money on that you get through that. School buses, to purchase school buses, educational materials, and then building or modifying or altering educational facilities. Now, I do feel comfortable that we could spend it for, I think, everything on that list if we got money under that. I think we'd fall into the fairly broad definition of educational facilities. So I think you would have discretion on what it could be spent on. But under 1011.14, we're capped at how much we could take on. It would be a quarter of what our ad valorem tax revenues are. Roughly, they're about $1.2 million, so you're looking at about $300,000, maybe give or take a couple thousand, is what we could get under this 1011.14. And that's something that would happen the fastest way to get it, but that's the most we could get. We would be limited, and then we would not be able to draw out any more money under that procedure until we paid down what we could just borrow. So we would always be capped at that 25%. That's, and again, just to clarify, it wouldn't really matter if we were getting $100 million from FEMA tomorrow. We would still be limited to that quarter of ad valorem tax revenue. So whatever, you know, FEMA couldn't be used to leverage that up under this statute. And also, we are capped. The statute says 10-11-4-14, if anybody wants to look at it, it's really not very long. But it says that you have to pay it within a year, but then it does allow for year-to-year extensions of that, if you can agree with the agreement of the whatever the lending institution, up to 5 years. So it does cap it at 5 years, it's got to be repaid. So that's $300,000 within 5 years. Obviously, it would depend on what the interest rate and all is, but numbers that some financial people told me, that's roughly about $75,000 a year that we would have to repay that. Which is, I mean, that's not couch change. So so that's not, but you can do that fast. And again, wouldn't have to put that to a vote of the citizenry or anything like that. Again, just something to, that's what I've been able to find out. And a lot of, I have to give credit to Senator Montford. He was a great resource, put us in touch with some extraordinarily knowledgeable people on school financing. Really appreciate him and the historian Frank. I spoke with her, she's very knowledgeable. And then several other attorneys that are attorneys for other districts, some of which a good bit larger than us, that do some more financing and things of that nature. So those are essentially are what y'all's options are money-wise.
Would interest be a part of the, have to be a part of that 302?
Well, it's in the
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If we borrow money from a bank, and so we want 302, obviously it's gonna cost us more than 302 yeah. over 5 years. Does that,
the way I interpret the statute is that's the most indebtedness we can take on. I haven't seen anything to alter that. So that amount of debt would have to be paid within that 5 year schedule.
Interesting.
And that is part of the RFP is whoever responds, if y'all put it out, the rate of interest and the total amount and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's because reading this RFP, just if we were filling in the blanks, then let's say you can't exceed 302, but obviously you got interest mm-hmm. charges on that, which is gonna make it over that. Is that
it would cap at 302, Jackson, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the most.
That would include interest and everything.
I believe so.
I don't see how it couldn't. But
interest fees and everything.
That's I think why we worded it.
So that would lower it. Yeah. That would lower the actual
the amount we could get. Yeah.
Right.
So
the other day, Thomas, you were saying it rough in the ballpark of about 40. That's on 1.2 million though. We're talking 300 something. I don't know what the yearly interest would be on that. And I know I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just.
I'd say 9,000 per year.
Thank you.
And the only thing that I would say on that, and I'd ask Jackson to figure that one out, is if you did it out on an obligation or a note, however you did it, most notes in Florida, interest is calculated on top of the principal balance, and the indebtedness that any institution or entity goes into is calculated on top of that. So the indebtedness that they're actually borrowing would be the 302, and interest would be the payback portion.
Well, and Mr. Byers, you're more knowledgeable on financial. I can get a more specific answer on that detail. It might take me an hour to do that, but I'll find out.
It looks like here, though, if you borrow 302, there's
you got, I mean, obviously you're asking for a lender, so there's got to be an understood assumption. There's going to be interest calculated on top of that 302. If 302 is your amount, whatever your amount is, it's actually going to be a little more than that. But that's something we definitely need some clarification on.
Could we prove this? I mean, approve this contingent of on us finding that out?
Well, I mean, we could approve the form that's been presented to us, but it's not going to be able to be completed until he's able to finish doing the research to answer those questions. I mean, it can't fully be filled out until then.
Well, we'd have to figure out, we'd have to figure out whatever the term is and figure out whatever with interest is 302.
Right.
About 5 years at X amount percent, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, we can't put it out.
You got to build that into the RFP so that whoever the lender knows how to answer that RFP to make sure that we don't cap it, if that's the rule.
I would think, gentlemen, that we would need to include the interest since we're going to be liable for that amount. That would, you know, would include interest.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's definitely part of paying the money back, so it has to be included.
Whatever that amount of money that Jackson told us that we're free to go out for.
But I'm still a little confused as far as like what your question was. Does it include the interest or not? Because I could...
Well, over 5 years, $302,000, if that's the cap, if you're having to include interest in that, you're not...
You can't even borrow that much, but it's interest going to eat up.
It's right.
Yeah.
Right. It's not a lot of money.
I mean, I'm just
to
wondering.
To me, it almost seems like if that statute's in place where you have a certain cap, but if you got to include interest in that, it's not even, it don't seem like it serves your real purpose. It don't help you a whole lot. It may have a larger district where they're at, you know, obviously their lower taxes are higher.
It's a whole lot more, yeah.
Well, I can, like I said, it shouldn't take me more than about an hour, and I can call and contact everybody and let them know the specific answer on that.
Okay. So do we need to table this for right now? This
you
item?
You may want to go forward. There's other parts of it that you may want to look at. It's up to y'all.
I would suggest let's go ahead and fill in the blanks, and let's figure it on the good side. You know, that we can get 302 and interest is on top of that and figure that out, get that done. That way, if Mr. Summers need to call an emergency meeting, we come back together and approve it and be done with it.
That's fine with me. I mean, the form itself is fine with me. It's just the part of the amount of monies is what's in question of what to put in that part.
Time frames, Jackson, how long should it go out? I know that's a blank here.
Traditionally, it appears like whenever we have done RFPs, it's been 30 days. So I would suggest that we stick with that past practice.
So we'd be looking at September 27th. That would be 1 month from today.
Sound right. We would definitely... that sounds right.
If it went out today, yeah. It's not going to go out. I don't know. It may go out today, but I doubt it will. Do we have any other questions? Do we need to go line by line and fill this in, or is that kind of one of those things that...
I know the amount would need to be agreed to by this board. There may be some clerical things or something.
Right.
I'm not looking at it.
Well, it's got the $302,000 on there. That's the most. I think that's the most we can get. And that's not enough.
No, that's not enough.
Well, at this point, it's the most immediate method of getting the money, unless you, like Jack said, you go to a bond thing, which is going to take a long time.
2 years.
Yeah.
This is the most immediate thing, but, you know, when we were first talking about doing an RFP or trying to get a loan from a bank, there are statutory requirements that does not allow us to just say we want to throw out an RFP for $1.2 million. Or, I seem like that list, that thing got a little higher today, but can't do that. With 10, 11, 14 restricts how much money we can ask for. So 302 is the max, but it's a start, which would require us to do some heavy scrutinizing this list and figure out where we want, you know, where that money needs to go the most. And then Jackson and I talked this morning before the meeting. Then if we said okay, but we would like to address these others, then you can talk about a bond issue later on. Mm-hmm. But this would give us some cash in hand right now to
start working.
Start working on stuff immediate, and then if we feel like a bond issue or the FEMA money or that 2%, that was a sucker punch this morning. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah.
I wish we'd get Pat McDaniel on the line, see what kind of work they're putting into that.
I'll be talking to him.
I figured y'all probably didn't step out and talk to him, but that's a huge thing because we totally went on their guidance. And, and I mean, nobody's at fault here, but obviously FEMA didn't like I understood they were an approved kind of vendor already. I don't think nobody's done anything wrong. I don't know. It's an interpretive.
The insurance company to approve it. I mean, they work for them. But getting back to the FEMA money being able to start to spend in different places, I don't know this now, but we might can reimburse ourselves for some insurance money through that FEMA money. For that insurance money, you can do whatever you want to. You understand what I'm saying? Like what we pay Lee's Flooring to go down there, $365,000 to do total or whatever, plus the total amount. You can take that thing of money and do that, but like Mr. Pat said, insurance money you can do with what you want to.
That is correct, Kevin.
FEMA dollars are restricted.
Restricted. So
very restricted.
So we can pay those bills with that, and that would release a little, not much, but it would release some money that maybe pay back the loan and do the $300 again.
Yeah, and that's what Jackson was saying. You could borrow that $300, and if you can't go over that, but once you pay it back, you can
do it again.
Tap into it again.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's a possibility. Ms. Howell would have to, she'd have to do some bigger, but that is a very good possibility to do some of this on this lease. We do $400,000.
And that would be doable.
There you go. There's your answer.
But doing things on this list, to me, top priority would be things that the FEMA money wouldn't fix.
Right.
Because apparently we're going to be restricted to what we can repair and build and do.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to spend money on FEMA stuff that when you get the FEMA money, the stuff's already fixed, but you can't spend it.
Yeah.
So you,
Madam Chair, so that was the 302, we would be able to borrow 302. That would not include increment difference, would not be calculated.
So we can do the full amount.
So we can do the full amount.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay. I was thinking to do that way. That's good.
I thought it's good.
That's great. Well, you know, look forward.
I think we need.
I agree.
Are we ready to move forward with that?
Yes. I am.
Do y'all want to have more discussion on it, Mr. Petty? Do you have any?
Well, we need to fill in these blanks because if we're going to approve this RFP, we need to have each thing. Has anybody got a hard copy of this? I know we got it online.
I do want to say what
I need to say. Thank you.
Write it in there.
Oh, you want it? Tina, I do want to have one.
I got one.
Is that the only one?
Okay.
No, I got a copy.
Jackson's got one thing he can tap into.
Give it to Jackson.
I would, you know, as superintendent, I think I'm obligated to give the board my feelings, and then of course, as has been said, y'all make the final call. We all understand that, respect that. I cannot, in these times of future budget cuts for the state, we are not a rich county. We have worked hard to bring our fund balance up from about
about 2.5% 6 years ago to about 7% now through our conservative spending, and that includes the board. We're all in this together on it. That anything that jeopardizes that little bit of above the 5% required by you as a board, it makes me nervous. We don't know how much cut's coming. We know it's coming, but not how much. And because I am very conservative financially, I've got a problem going into any loan in this environment. I've talked to other superintendents and they share the same feeling. But we are maybe in a special situation. But I do urge y'all, if we do enter into this loan, that we do academics first, classroom needs first. Books should come first. So I hope and pray that y'all will keep that in mind as we go forward.
Thank you, Mr. David.
And Tina, this is Sheila. There is, I want to reiterate that we have been told, finance officers have been told, that in the fall we will be expecting possible a cut. We do not know how much, and it will have nothing to do with FTE. They will be reevaluating the FTE in probably the spring, but that will be another reduction in revenue. So do heed that when y'all decide to make your decision on going forward. So I just wanted to let y'all know that.
Thank you, Sheila.
You're welcome.
Anybody have any discussion any further?
Madam Chair, I think our school board elected.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairman. I had a chance to look at the draft RFPs last night. There is some things that I think that we need to, some standard required language by the state that needs to be in. I don't know what drafts you got. I'll be glad to loan my time and speak with you. And also, I just want to, and I've had this conversation with Sheila. The state of Florida is doing an exercise right now, all state agencies, to go through a 10% reduction exercise. They are looking at FTEs. And so I would caution the board at this point, and just as David, I'm going to follow suit on you, David, if it's okay, that just be aware that there are potential pending cuts. And we don't know at this point what COVID, the damage that COVID is going to do to our budget. As you know, FEMA money may trickle, it goes to the state coffers and then down to, trickles down into the county. So just, I would caution us at this point, and I am just a member-elect, so I'm just, humbly speaking to the board to remember that at this point. And also, any type of I would make the recommendation that any type of loan at this point, the prioritization is critical and how we spend those funds. So we just need to make sure that we're not robbing Peter to pay Paul for something later on. And I just feel that prioritization list is lacking something. That's from Jody, in my opinion. But again, back to the RFP, I would like to speak with you, Jackson. Overall, the template, the boilerplate looks good, but there is some language that we need to ensure that it's there. Okay.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you, Jody. So, are we getting the feeling that this is not a good idea to approve this today to move forward?
Because of
budget cuts or the obligation it would put? We're not obligated to do it. We're just putting the RFP out and then.
Let me ask you this. Could we take a short recess and maybe let Jody come up and talk to Jackson on the language and stuff?
I feel like that's rushing something. If she needs to talk with him, she needs to have time to do it, and Jackson needs to have time to look at that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
That's rushing.
They can tell us, we need more time to look at it or no.
I think that is what's been suggested. What Madam Chairperson?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
So you want to table this?
I think it needs to be tabled. I think it, if we want to, I mean, I understand we're under a time restraint. We want to try to get what we can get if it's the decision of the board to move forward to borrow money. But I'm not with rushing into anything. And there's still so many questions and still, you know, I wasn't aware that all these cuts are coming until today.
Potential cuts.
Yeah, well, potential. I understand that's what Sheila was saying, but... Usually when they talk about it, it means it's going to happen. We know that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't borrow the money, but we need to, if we're going to do it, it needs to be done not hastily. In my opinion, I'm one person. I'm one out of five. So I feel like we should table this, and if we have to meet next week, then we'll come back next week. I mean... 3 or 4 days ain't gonna make, or maybe 5 days, I don't know. Ain't gonna make. I mean, we're not talking about waiting a month from now to meet again about it.
I'm in complete agreement. I think we've all got a little check in our spirit that we want to make. We want to get as much as we can to try to meet some of these needs, and I think we know what those are. We've identified them, but obviously Even at this, you're not going to have enough. So I don't have any problem. I think that would be a good idea. Let's go back and be slow and deliberate on it, but to make sure that we do it the right way. And, there, you know, at the end of the day, we all want to feel good about it. If Summers needs to feel good about it, we all need to feel good about it.
Right. I want to feel good about it when I'm not sitting here anymore, that there's not a board and a superintendent sitting up here having to take repercussion on decisions.
I think we've moved in the right direction. We've got a started form here that we look at. But yeah, I would feel good about if Mr. Summers wants to make a recommendation to us that it's something that's complete, vetted, and got some direction and go from there, rather than just fill something out and throw a motion out there. But it definitely, you know, I think we need to look at it a little closer.
So do I have a motion to table item 8B?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Morris. Morris, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Hayes. Any other discussion about tabling 8B? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion to table carries. We did not have any emergency items. Do we have any board member items this morning? Oh, I'm sorry. I sure did. Apologize. Going back. We'll go back to the action items. I apologize. 9A, motion to approve agreement between the Liberty County School Board, Capital Health Plan Incorporated, World Class Schools of Leon County Incorporated, and Titus Sports Academy, LLC, for the CHP Champions Program to provide before, during, and after school fitness and exercise programs for students through June 30th, 2021. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Flowers. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Do we have any board member items this evening, or this morning? It's not the evening.
I do.
Okay.
A couple of things. And I knew we're looking at borrowing money and everything for part of it, for the field house out there and, at the ball field. I knew there was a big where it is right now and all of a sudden everything got stopped. What I would like to ask, of course, I think Kyle said the last time he was on the committee, but if we could have complete transparency on, because I get asked questions all the time about where's my donation at, what, you know, from different, not just one person, but different people. Where did it go to? You know, we had companies in this county donate some of them $50,000 to parts of it, and they're seeing their donation, if their donation was there, and I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I would just like for that to have complete transparency with the board so we can see what it is. know what it is, if there's any money in there to spend on this, getting this field house moved forward. That may be a little pot that we can get in to finish it, because I'm tired of seeing it set out there like that. So, but I think Kyle and Jackson, both of y'all said on that.
Yeah, I talked to Hugh Black. He was one of the, I think, on the finance part of that. That money's still there. It's still, is it Liberty Education?
Foundation.
That money's still there, but it's earmarked for, I guess, whoever bought pavers and different things. And I can't remember the amounts. I brought it up at a couple of board meetings ago, and I can't remember what I said. But, no, it's there. It's there.
I think what I'm getting from the public is they wanted to know, is it still there? And people are wanting to know how much is there and wanted to see the list of – I think people just need validation that their money that they donated is still there. And I'm like you, Mr. Flowers. I mean, there should be a way we can show that, you know, whether it's a banking statement that shows, you know, there's record of who donated what, I'm sure, I hope. And I know some people are coming in after other people. And people are just wanting to know how much is there and is their money still there for their papers that they donated in their name or their family's name or, you know, and so forth. So, you know, when people ask that, they want to see it. And, you know, I don't know if there's a list.
It's on school board property. I think we should have complete transparency on what's been spent out there, if money was collected, and blocks bought or blocks donated. We should be able to know that, and the public should be able to know that. So I'm asking that of the committee. I went back to 2012, 2013 trying to find information out on it, and it seemed like it just kind of disappeared in 2014. So, like I said, not accusing anybody of any kind of wrongdoing or anything. I just think we need complete transparency on that. And if we could get that, I would appreciate it.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
Ms. Sheila, are you still on the line? Okay, she's off. I was just...
No, I'm here. Okay. I had you on the mute.
You probably heard Mr. Flowers and his concerns there, and I think it's shared by all of us on this.
Yes, sir. We don't have any control over that, but and I don't know if I can even seek that type of information, but there should have been a ledger, I would think, financial ledger, handling these funds, what was spent out and what was collected by a person. But it was dealt with an organization. I didn't have anything involved in that.
Okay, that's really the point I was trying to get to, is that really that it's not come under the school board's authority in any way.
None of that was even a part of the school district.
As far as compliance or oversight, that's all under the foundation's jurisdiction.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
And I do know that the school board didn't have any control of it, so I was just kind of respectfully asking that foundation provide us that information.
Jane, I'm not sure who's head of the foundation now. Y'all know?
I think Donnie was initially, but I don't know who is now.
I've only been to one meeting, but I know that Hugh Black was
the financial.
I just sent him a text.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get that info, so I don't know if he'll get it to me. I got
one other thing, and I know we received some information. I don't know if we received anything in writing yet on our after-school program. Have you received anything that yet?
Have not. Ms. Flowers, have not received anything from the DOE giving us official go. Really haven't received any. We've tried to make contacts, but we have yet to get anything back from DOE confirming.
I said I might have jumped the gun on that.
I think eventually it'll happen. It's just in that pipeline.
Yeah. I got all kinds of notes here, but I'm good for right now until I think something else.
And we will make sure y'all know as soon as we are told about the after-school program, we'll be sure to communicate that to you.
Does anybody have anything else?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We just got a text back on from Frank from B&B for the quotes on the backstop, and they were questioning about how long they last or come up. He said that backstop pad, 20-year life if left out, or it can be taken down every year, and that make it even a longer lasting.
Okay.
The other thing I got is, I did see, I talked to Kevin, he had the people fixing the fence out there yesterday at Hoffer School. I don't know, I know they got the north end, I don't know if they got the other, but they did get some of that done.
I put on the list, that's a new thing on there, Mr. Chuck said he has cleaned out all the east side.
Yes, he did, I seen that yesterday.
He cleaned it all out, so that's on the list. I don't have a quote yet how much to repair that side as well.
Yeah, well, I know they did, they bush hogged it, cut it all down. You can actually see now.
They cleared out the trees and everything far so we can get there and fix it. But I have a quote on that. But there's also a washout there, and they digging that stump up in there right by the fence there on the ground. They're gonna fix all that when they're doing it all.
And that's pretty much all I had right there.
Anybody else? I have two things now, and I'll be quick. The first thing, Miss Lynn, I want to thank you for working on the audio and all that you do. I know you've been tasked with some difficult stuff the last several months, and now working on our sound system and making sure everybody can hear. Tina is wanting to suggest that in the future, and I know it's going to take some time and some research to find out how to do this, but the day and time that we're living in, and I've talked to Mr. Summers about this, this is just my suggestion and something I would like to see happen as for this board, for when we have board meetings for our public, is to take the responsibility off of LEA of having live meetings. I believe we're in the day and time where we can provide that as a board to our public and to everyone that needs to stay home and wants to. Now, I don't know if we can just do audio or if at some point we can do audio now. It's easier than looking to doing the video because you got to have somebody working a camera. I know there's a lot that goes into it, but I know it's possible the day and time that we live in. And that's just something that I feel like as a board that we should be able to offer our public, our citizens, our taxpayers, people that can't come to these meetings that want to watch from home. I'm just asking to see if we can work towards that.
150% agree. That needs to be our responsibility.
That, I agree. But Ms. Lynn's department needs time to be able to. She can't do it in 2 days. She can't do it in 1 day, maybe, or 1 week. I don't know. They're already under enough as it is, trying to get things ready for school. But I do ask that we kind of move towards that. And assistance that she needs or resources, let us know, and we'll try to help as much as we can to relieve some of it off of her where she can do other things. There's people that may have that knowledge that can be of some help to her and her department.
Totally agree, Ms. Tina. We are already in the works. You know, after our conversation, yeah. I've met with Lynn, and we've been talking, doing the things that you're talking about, moving toward that.
Okay. And then the other thing that came up was Jennifer's presentation. I don't know, I guess, Sheila, we would have to find out what we have available to see about getting something for the padding and stuff that with those three quotes that she gave us. I don't want her to come present that and then nobody move forward with at least looking at it and seeing if there's somewhere we can help with that.
I agree, Ms. Tina. We want to go through the chain to let Coach Jordan take a look at it, high school AD. And Mr. Eric, and we'll go through the procedure there.
Hey, Kevin.
I have to add to the list and the camera system. Understand that if you turn over that front page on the back, we had $70,169 extra money.
Mm-hmm.
We've already spent $79,961.90 of that. So we over $9,000, and I just had an air conditioner go out of Tolbert that's $23,000 to fix. So
currently that's all general fund. General fund dollars.
Yeah. So that's $23,000 that's gonna come out of maintenance that We wouldn't inspect it.
Mm-hmm.
And the floor is buckling up there. We have no choice but to change it. And see if that cures the fault. But I mean, that's just happened. They have an air conditioner right now. And then there's classrooms without air. So that's stuff that...
All I'm asking is to look at something and see if it's something we can donate something towards it. And I understand, Kevin, what you're saying, but she deserves at least to be acknowledged and said, you know, we looked into it and yes, we can, or no, we can, or we can, you know.
We'll do that.
Thank you. That's all I have.
I got some numbers. I texted Hugh. And again, he even mentioned James had asked him as well, and he's working on some information. As far as, let me start off by this. Anybody that contributes to a nonprofit obviously has a right to know, to have a record of where the money's gone and what it's been used for. Second thing, $12,264.70. He's pretty specific, but that's not itemized. I would safely assume that's probably pavers.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of donations. So that would need to be used towards those items that have been purchased. But that money, that's in a bank account. In the foundation, and that's all open for purview, but that's not our account, it's the foundation's account. I don't think anybody's tried to, I've not heard of anybody trying to hide anything, and I don't think that accusation went out. People just want to know, well, look, how much do we have?
Right.
And so that's the $12,264.70. And again, Hugh said he'd work on this other and get us some itemization. For example, X amount is favors, X amount is whatever. And then, but that's still a small amount as far as trying to probably do anything with it. I would assume probably most of that's for favors.
Thank you, Mr. Reddy.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
You know, I won't be here to see it, but I hope that when the building is built, that we can have maybe a bronze or some kind of a recognition for all these Georgia Pacifics, Rex Lumber, all these companies that they donated, you know, that we can make. Some of them are, like y'all were saying, $50,000. I mean, huge donations.
Yeah.
I had one more thing to cut. Getting the extra custodial help to help clean. Did we look at that any?
Yeah, I talked to the principals. We met specifically on that. I think Laura even made a comment that there are several health aides that we can keep them on the payroll by letting them help the custodial clean, but we felt confident that we're in good shape right now going forward. Now, that's today. Now, if something were to happen, you know, tomorrow, we might have to make a little bit different adjustment, but as of right now.
Okay. That's all I got.
All right, I need a motion and a second to adjourn.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Hayes, second by Mr. Petty. Meeting adjourned.
Good job, Tina.
Thank you.